Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a hearing in the Supreme Court in a case that has Senate Republicans challenging the White House over the President's authority to make recess appointments. Elizabeth Wydra, Chief Counsel of the Constitutional Accountability Center, joins us to discuss the 90 minutes of oral arguments in the Supreme Court that appeared to indicate a majority of justices were skeptical of the administration's use of the recess appointment power that has been regularly and routinely exercised by presidents of both parties. Then we'll speak with Eric LeCompte, who is the director of the Jubilee USA Network, a coalition of 75 religious, policy, labor, relief, environmental, and human rights organizations advocating for solutions to the international debt crises. He joins us to discuss the Supreme Court's decision to hear Argentina's case against a predatory hedge fund known as a vulture fund and its connection to the new Argentine Pope, who has spoken out against this form of savage capitalism and has just appointed 19 new cardinals, many from poor and indebted third world countries. Then finally, with major corporations like Target and Neiman Marcus having just been hacked, we will speak with Peter Singer, the author of a new book, Cybersecurity and Cyber War, What Everyone Needs to Know. He is the director of the Center for 21st Century Security and Intelligence and a senior fellow in the Foreign Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. We'll discuss how the Internet has become the new arena for communications, commerce, and conflict, and the competing agendas of the NSA, criminal networks, the Chinese and U.S. militaries, and the anonymous hacker group. Joining us now is Elizabeth Wydra, who's the Chief Counsel of the Constitutional Accountability Center, a think tank, law firm, and action center dedicated to showing how the text and history of the Constitution support progressive outcomes. She frequently participates in Supreme Court litigation and has argued several important cases in the federal courts of appeals. Welcome to Background Briefing, Elizabeth Wydra.
It's great to be with you.
And Elizabeth, you were in the Supreme Court today where in the 19-minute oral argument over whether or not the president's recess appointments will be overturned. What was your sense? Because what I'm reading indicates that there were, I think a majority of justices seem to be pretty skeptical of this administration's use of the recess appointment power.
I think you're right that a majority of justices did seem skeptical, but I would sort of qualify your statement by saying it's not just this president's use of the recess appointments power. It's presidents going back to George Washington who have used the recess appointments power and understood the recess appointment power in the same way that President Obama is. And this includes, in recent times, presidents from both sides of the ideological spectrum. We have Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, and then, of course, President Obama and Bill Clinton. So if the Supreme Court were to find that President Obama's recess appointees are constitutionally invalid, that would be quite a remarkable shift from the way that the president's authority under the recess appointments clause has been understood since the time our Constitution was written.
Well, obviously, this has been going on, and the recess appointments have been used repeatedly and routinely by presidents of both parties. But the fact that Mitch McConnell was in the Supreme Court today, and this case, it really does appear to be pitting the Senate Republicans against this White House. So to that extent, it seems different, or at least a showdown of some kind.
Absolutely. You know, it really shouldn't be a partisan issue, but that's not to say that it isn't. It certainly has been become a very partisan issue in this case. As you said, the Senate minority leader, Mitch McConnell, had time in the Supreme Court today, and he argued strongly against the president's recess appointment authority in this case. And it sort of gets to a, I don't want to say narrower, but certainly a potentially narrower ground for the Supreme Court to rule in this case. So in this particular recess, President Obama nominated members to the National Labor Relations Board during a recess in which the Senate claimed to be not wholly in recess. It would have what are called pro forma sessions every 3 days. This is, you know, a total formalism. They would last about 30 seconds. You know, someone would gavel in, gavel out, essentially. And the Obama administration is saying, well, they were functionally in recess, and that they weren't conducting any business. They were dispersed to their districts, to their home states. But the Senate, and Mitch McConnell in particular, came in and said, look, it's up to the Senate to decide when the Senate is in recess. So the court could say, well, in this case, because of these pro forma sessions, President Obama could not make recess appointees, and then leave untouched sort of the underlying constitutional authority for the president to make recess appointees when the Senate is truly in recess.
So how different was this White House's disregard for this pro forma kind of stunt where they gavel them in and gavel them out in a matter of seconds when there's nobody around, everybody's in their district that's clearly not operating, yet technically they're arguing it is? Have other presidents done recess appointments under these same conditions?
Yeah, George W. Bush certainly did. And, you know, I would point out that I didn't see Mitch McConnell complaining about it back then. You know, so that's where some of this partisanship comes into play, even when it shouldn't. You know, so it certainly has been used. And that came out today in argument that, you know, really what we're talking about are sort of political maneuverings, manipulation of the rules. And both parties are definitely guilty of it. You know, when George W. Bush was the president and Democrats had the Senate, they did the same thing to try to stymie Bush's recess appointment power. But, you know, I think it's important to look at the Constitution and the idea that the recess appointment power was given to the president by the framers to ensure that he or she can fulfill the obligation to faithfully execute the laws and make sure that the government is fully staffed and running. And that's the purpose. It can certainly, you know, be politically manipulated from time to time, but I think for the Supreme Court to wholly undercut the recess appointment power just because of, you know, some of the obstruction and intransigence that we're seeing right now in the appointments process would be really damaging to the country and to the balance of power that our Constitution sets up.
And again, I'm speaking with Elizabeth Wydra, Chief Counsel of the Constitutional Accountability Center, a think tank law firm and action center dedicated to showing how the text and history of the Constitution supports progressive outcomes. She frequently participates in Supreme Court litigation and has argued several important cases in the Federal Court of Appeals and was in the Supreme Court today for the 90-minute oral arguments where Republican Mitch McConnell was president and made an argument to take away President Obama's ability to do recess appointments. In this case, members to the National Labor Relations Board in a suit that was brought by a beverage bottler, from Washington State, made its way through the Court of Appeals, the very court that the president has not been able to get people on, right? I mean, it all seems to me to be so obvious that the courts are being used here as a political weapon.
Yeah, you know, and I think that it's important to take the long view on these things. You know, Mitch McConnell might really regret coming into court and saying that the president doesn't have this authority in the face of a Senate that uses these pro forma sessions to avoid letting the president put any of his people on the bench and in agencies because, you know, times could change and you might see a Republican president and a Democratic Senate, and then he'll probably be sorry that he came into court and made these points. You know, but I think what's important to remember is that if the Noel Canning, the bottling company's argument is accepted, it could call into question the constitutional legitimacy, not just of these particular nominations of President Obama's to the National Labor Relations Board, but it could call into question the constitutional legitimacy of thousands of appointments going back to the founding. And I think that, you know, no matter how much Republicans dislike this president and want to upset his agenda, I think that it really, they should think twice before upsetting an equilibrium that has been the stable equilibrium reached between the political branches for many decades, if not more than 100 years.
Well, we know that the Republicans, and at the behest of the banking lobby, have fought tooth and nail to stop the appointment of Richard Cordray and to scuttle the new Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, which they have, you know, clearly gone to war against. And Cordray was appointed under a recess appointment because they were filibustering him. So what's the fate of that then, that appointment? That's a really key one.
Absolutely. You know, it's not just, we're not just talking about the National Labor Relations Board, which itself is very important because it helps protect against unsafe and illegal workplace conditions. But as you said, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, Richard Cordray, was a recess appointment. And because a lot of the powers that go to the CFPB are held by the CFPB's director, Richard Cordray, you know, a whole host of rulemaking and enforcement actions that are meant to protect against some of the shenanigans that got us into the crisis that we have found ourselves, those could be placed into question as well. So I think that we need to recognize not just the sort of historical and much broader constitutional consequences here, but the fact that very important consumer and worker protections could be placed in the balance if the court rules against the Obama administration in this case.
Well, we know that the court is capable of naked partisanship, which they, in the case of Bush v. Gore, they barely dressed up with the pretense of legalism. And I'm just wondering whether this is really naked partisanship in the sense that both of these cases, the issue is a big one, recess appointments, but the specific cases of both of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau and Richard Cordray and the National Labor Relations Board, both have been targets of corporate and banking interests. And a lot of these Supreme Court justices are corporatists. In the confirmation hearings, nobody ever asks them, you know, they want to know about their position on abortion, but not on whether they're corporatists or not. And many of them come out of corporate law. So I'm wondering, is that a subtext? Am I being too cynical here? I mean, it seems to me that this could be a win for corporate America.
Well, so precisely to your point, the bottling company that is raising the challenge to these recess appointments is directly represented by the Chamber of Commerce, which is sort of the litigating arm of business interests in the country. So, you know, this is definitely something that is very high up on the agenda for big business in the courts in the United States. And I think that, you know, not all of the justices are skeptical of the administration's recess appointments because of sympathy to the Chamber of Commerce, but, you know, certainly I don't think that can be discounted entirely because, as we've seen in my organization, Constitutional Accountability Center has documented the extraordinary success of the Chamber of Commerce in the Roberts Court and the great sympathy that a majority of the justices in the Roberts Court have for corporate arguments.
So, Elizabeth Wider, again, Chief Counsel of the Constitutional Accountability Center, a think tank, law firm, and action center dedicated to showing how the text and history of the Constitution supports progressive outcomes. The history of the Constitution has been very much at play in this case, has it not, where various legal scholars on both on the progressive and the conservative side have used history to buttress their arguments. What's your analysis of where that stands?
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting, especially for law nerds like me, you know, it's really fascinating to see the Solicitor General of the United States get up before the Supreme Court and quote chapter and verse from the Federalist Papers, arguing about the president's authority. And here what we have are practices which are the nomination when the Senate is in recess of important executive and judicial positions that go back to President Washington that were debated by Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson thought about this precise issue and, you know, determined that the Constitution's text allowed the president to fill vacancies in the way that President Obama has done here, because there are several complicated issues before the Supreme Court in this case. One is, what exactly is a recess? Is it only the one that happens between sessions of Congress, or breaks that occur while Congress is in session? Two, can the president appoint nominees if the vacancy has existed prior to the recess? Or if, you know, the alternative view would be if, you know, the Senate is in recess and, you know, a judge dies during the recess. And that broader view has been the settled practice since the very beginnings of the nation. So when you look at the Constitution's text and you look at the way that our framers actually acted based on that text, you have a really strong argument supporting the Obama administration. And so for the court to find the other way would not just write the constitutional recess appointment power out of our founding document, but it would go against more than 200 years of practice. And I think that's really important to keep in mind, and the Solicitor General did a great job of really bringing that point home to the court and explaining that the purpose of giving the president this recess appointment power was to make sure that our nation would be up and running 24/7. That's the job of the president and the executive branch, as contrasted with, as our framers noted, Congress, which would from time to time go into recess and not be conducting business.
Well, when the Chief Justice John Roberts noted that recess appointment clause is not supposed to be a way for presidents to avoid Senate approval because of their political opposition to the appointments, you know, he said the senators have an absolute right not to confirm nominees. I don't think he can take this out of the context of this particular Senate, where you, and with this particular minority led by Mitch McConnell, who made arguments before the Supreme Court today. I mean, he has literally blocked everything. They have artificially created this threshold, filibuster threshold, for every vote on almost anything. So they have proactively changed the rules, which have forced now the Senate to change the rules back to business as usual, even though it was called the nuclear option, which, of course, was a very stupid way to frame it, because there's nothing nuclear and apocalyptic about it. It's merely going back to the way things used to be, when you had to do a real filibuster and have some skin in the game. So I can't, to my mind, you can't take this out of that context. So here you have the Republicans throwing up the roadblocks, and now the Senate has been forced to take these roadblocks away, and now they're coming in the back door saying, and by the way, in order to get around these roadblocks, you put up recess appointments, and now we're going to take them away from you.
Yeah, you know, the level of obstruction is truly unprecedented, and I think that's what's really concerning about the possibility of a ruling that would undermine the recess appointment power. You know, if Republicans took the Senate back in the next election and decided during the President Obama's remaining part of his term not to confirm any of his nominees, no matter how non-controversial they might truly be, that's a real problem for the functioning of the government. And I suppose that's entirely their point, is that they do want to hamstring the federal government from actually working. But that's not what the framers intended when they gave the president the appointment power. Chief Justice Roberts is right that the Senate does have the option of not consenting to the president's nominees. But the Constitution also, because the framers were concerned that the government be able to function and that it be able to be fully staffed, it gave the president the power to put people into these positions that need to be filled when the Senate is not around, is not available to give its consent. And so I think that you have these two competing interests on the part of the Senate and the president, and the Constitution took those into account and said that the recess appointment power is going to be one tool that the president will have in the toolbox to ensure that the executive is able to be up and running at all times.
So just in closing then, Elizabeth Wydra, if the Republicans win back the Senate in this election year in November, what would the consequences be then? You'd have the filibuster rule that was just changed by the Republicans would then be in their hands. If this Supreme Court rules in their favor, I believe in June, is it not, then the president essentially won't be able to appoint anybody, right, for the rest of his term.
Yeah, and you could get into real trouble with that. You know, as we saw with the National Labor Relations Board, this is an incredibly important executive agency. It handles matters regarding workers' rights to improve their workplace conditions, wages, and they were essentially unable to do that work because they did not have enough members on the board. They didn't have a quorum, and without these recess appointments, it's hard to see how the president would have been able to ensure that important executive agency was able to function properly. And that's really something that should be concerning because, you know, it's one thing to disagree with a member of an opposing party, and it's another to absolutely hamstring and stymie the running of the federal government. You know, that to me is something that's an entirely different flavor, and I think that's something that we should be concerned about in this recess appointments clause case.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Elizabeth Wydra.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Again, I've been speaking with Elizabeth Wydra, who's the chief counsel of the Constitutional Accountability Center, a think tank law firm and action center dedicated to showing how the text and history of the Constitution supports progressive outcomes. She frequently participates in Supreme Court litigation and has argued several important cases in the federal courts of appeal. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about Supreme Court taking up a case to stop predatory vulture funds from collecting Argentina's debt.